Hebrews chapter 5, and reading the 14 verses of this passage. Hebrews and the 5th chapter. For every high priest taken from among men is appointed on behalf of men in things pertaining to God, in order to offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. He can deal gently with the ignorant and misguided, since he himself also is beset with weakness, and because of it he is obligated to offer sacrifices for sins, as for the people, so also for himself. And no one takes the honor to himself, but receives it when he is called by God, even as Aaron was. So also Christ did not glorify himself so as to become a high priest, but he who said to him, "You are my son, today I have begotten you." Just as he says also in another passage, "You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." In the days of his flesh he offered up both prayers and supplications with loud crying and tears to the one able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his piety. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered, and having been made perfect, he became to all those who obey him the source of eternal salvation, being designated by God as a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. Concerning him, we have much to say, and it is hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature, who, because of practice, have their senses trained to discern good and evil. Those who first received the book of Hebrews had walked with Christ, but then had drawn back from him. And the impassioned appeal is, consider again the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what we are doing as we make our way through Hebrews, as we lead up to Christmas. We know what Christmas is about. We know the routine. We go through the motions. We go to the services. We sing the carols. We know the readings, some of them, having heard them so many times, we know them by heart. But here we are considering once again, who is this? Who is this? And trying to peel off the crust that can accumulate around even believers in Christ when we go ho-hum. We have heard that before. Here we are going through Hebrews and considering just how rich we are as we walk with Christ and as we remain faithful to Him. And as we hear the appeal, let us not drift away, but rather let us draw near with confidence. Now we have also considered how that in the Roman Catholic sphere, there is a problem in that they elevate Christ to such a degree that there needs to be a mediator between us and Jesus, and they choose Mary and various saints. Well, in chapter 4, we heard it, let us fear, and that is good and that is proper. Proverbs talks about the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and it's right that we come to the Scriptures with a fearful attitude, and that we come before God not in a nonchalant, lackadaisical attitude, but that we come with a trembling heart. But that we understand that it is not Mary or any of the other saints who is our mediator, but that it is Jesus Christ who has been made lower for a little, that he might be exalted over all. He is the one and only mediator between God and man. We don't need any other. Well, as we press on, having heard at the very end of chapter 4 that there is to be a confidence that we are to have in coming before the Lord, though fearful, yet because of this very mediator, Jesus Christ, who has worked such marvelous things on our behalf, we can come with a confidence to the throne of grace to receive mercy and grace in time of need. But here we continue to learn more of this high priest who we have. Now, the original readers of Hebrews, they would have known the Old Testament scriptures undoubtedly better than us. They would have known, having many of them seen the temple service. For us, it's a little bit difficult to read the Torah, the first five books of the Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and to picture all that was taking place. It must have been a marvelous thing to have actually been there, to smell the smells of the incense, and to see the animals being brought in, to literally see the rivers of blood that went down the Kidron as a result of the constant sacrifice that was offered in the temple. It must have been an amazing thing to have been there. But here we don't have an earthly high priest. Well, we do and we don't. Jesus had come to earth and he was a high priest who had walked this earth, but now he is a high priest of such a different character that the writer to the Hebrews is at pains to explain and to unfold all of the glories of the one who is eternally our high priest. You see, in the Old Testament, there was a constant succession of high priests. One would die, and another would take his place. And on it would go through the generations. But here we have a high priest of a different character, of a different background. He had pre-existed before. None of the other high priests could say that. And he continues in office forever interceding on our behalf. Now, I want you especially to look right smack in the middle of this chapter in verse 7. It says, in the days of his flesh. Now, that's a very peculiar statement. And unless we slow down in our reading, we might fly by it and miss it. In the days of his flesh. Have you ever described someone in that way? I certainly haven't. In the days of his flesh. Well, in a certain way, you could say, well, he's passed on, but in the days of his flesh. But even that, it's kind of peculiar at best. Here we have a reminder that Jesus Christ, though Bethlehem is not outlined as in Matthew and Luke here in Hebrews, we don't have the story of the shepherds or the magi or the pilgrimage that Mary and Joseph made there to pay their taxes to Caesar. But here we have a reminder that Jesus Christ was pre-existent. Now, none of the other high priests were anything like that. None of us are anything like that. Here, once again, the call is and the proclamation is, here is someone who is so different. And if you, the readers and us, come and think, well, you know, Jesus, we heard his name and we heard his gospel, and at first we were so enamored by it. We were so captivated by it. But, you know, maybe that initial enthusiasm, maybe that was overdone. Maybe we were sold a bill of goods somehow. But here we're taught, here is one who is different. In the days of his flesh, well, there were those 33 approximately years when Jesus took upon himself flesh and bones. He, the eternal Son of God, who was there on creation morning, stepped down from his throne. Thou didst leave thy throne. He stepped down from his throne to somehow compress himself into the womb of a virgin, and there for 9 months to grow and to be born at a most difficult time. It reminds us of John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word. That's what John uses as the designation for Jesus. In the beginning was the Word. Jesus was there on creation morning and far beyond, as we go farther back in time to eternity past. Jesus was there, this high priest. So this high priest has been from eternity past, and he shall continue to eternity on ahead. And the Word was with God, and the Word, Jesus, was God, was divine. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing, 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 nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness. That's what this world is. Here we have such a contrast. We have Jesus Christ, the light of the world, coming into the world, which was nothing but darkness. And the darkness did not, my Bible says, comprehend it. Comprehend it. What happens when you comprehend something? You grasp a hold of it. You get your hands around it. You've got some school idea, some trigonometry or chemistry or biology. There's something that you're wrestling with. You don't comprehend it. Well, suddenly, there comes that moment when you, yes, I understand now. You comprehend, you grasp a hold of it. Well, here, as John writes, he says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend. It did not grasp a hold of it. It could not overcome it. Well, here we come back to Hebrews chapter 5. In the days of his flesh. So we look backward and we see that Jesus lived for all eternity past. But it reminds us of what had, prior to the writing of Hebrews, so recently taken place. But it also looks forward to what shall ever take place in days ahead. Now, once again, the reminder is given of high priests, how they are appointed. In verse 1, we have every high priest taken from among men. Once again, our high priest was not taken from among men. He was taken from the courts of heaven, brought to this world for a time, made a little lower, made as a man, the God-man, unique in every way, but now of a different character. Every high priest taken from among men is appointed on behalf of men in things pertaining to God in order to offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. And the character, the qualifications are reminded to us here. Verse 4, No one takes the honor to himself, but receives it when he is called by God. You go back to the book of Judges and you find that there were some there who thought, well, you know, I can appoint myself a priest, or I can appoint whoever I like to be a priest. Well, that was in a time where every man did what was right in his own eyes, wasn't right in God's eyes. And here we are reminded of that. But verse 5. It says, Christ did not glorify himself so as to become a high priest. In Philippians chapter 2, we have Christ emptying himself, making himself of no account. What a beautiful picture that is of how that Christ set aside his royal robes and took upon himself flesh and bones that he might be the sacrifice that we so desperately need. Here is the reminder again. Christ, the eternal Son of God, glorious in every way, did not glorify himself, but he wanted that to come from his heavenly Father. He wanted to be obedient to what his Father had for him to do. Verse 7, once again, in the days of his flesh, having taken upon himself that body, he offered up both prayers and supplication with loud crying and tears to the one who was able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his piety. And though he was a son, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 8 is one of those marvelous verses of Scripture where we get a very peculiar glimpse into what Christ did for us. There are certain things that you learn simply by the doing thereof. And here we have a strange quandary that is laid before us. We believe that God is omnipresent, all present everywhere, and that he is omniscient, that he knows all things, and that he is omnipotent. He is all powerful. Well, here, omniscient, if he is in fact all-knowing, if he knows all things, how do we put our hands around and arms around verse 8? Although he was a son, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered. In coming and taking upon himself a body, there were things which he learned, temptations which he had never known about in the Godhead. But because of him blending God and man, as fully God as though he had never been man, and as fully man as though he had never been God, in this blending there were things which he learned that he might be a high priest, that he might passionately intercede for each and every one of us. And verse 9, having been made perfect. Once again, there is a distinguishing mark here between all of the other high priests who have ever borne that name and Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the one, the only perfect high priest. All of the other high priests, before they went in to do their temple service, had to cleanse themselves. They had to offer sacrifice for themselves. Jesus is this strange high priest who not only comes as the high priest, but he is the sacrifice also. But Jesus, he is the Lamb of God, that spotless Lamb that takes away the sin of the world, being perfect from birth through his entire life, resisting the devil when the devil would press hard upon him in the wilderness, in Gethsemane. Here we have a perfect high priest. And of course the appeal is made, friends, why would you ever go back to Judaism? Why would you ever go back to your old ways? Why would you throw Jesus overboard, one who is so qualified to plea before the throne of God for you and for me? He became to all those who obey him the source of eternal salvation. The Bible rightly speaks with a startling exclusivity. There is one and there is only one source of eternal salvation. It is not the many, it is the one. Having traveled to various parts of the world, I have observed people who have been seeking for salvation in 100,000 different ways. But Jesus Christ is it. And the Bible speaks plainly, it speaks truly. And whenever someone comes and takes the Bible and they then go off in another direction to highlight some other Savior, they have done a hideous and horrible thing. They have mutilated, they have twisted, they have torn the pages of God's holy word. Verse 11, we read, concerning Him, concerning Jesus, we have much to say. The heartbreak is that you have become dull of hearing. Now, once again, here are people who had walked with Christ and they had delighted in Him. Later on, we read of how that they had gladly given up of their possessions and they had endured hardship because of their love of Christ, because of their joy of walking with Him, because of the gospel having so gripped and held them that they said, you know what? The beauty of Jesus, the splendor of His countenance, the wonder of His person, it is so incredible that all of those other things, they just fade away and they don't matter anymore. Yes, they needed to eat, and yes, they needed a place to cover themselves, and all of those things still had meaning. But as their sole and single pursuit, all of a sudden they had caught a glimpse of that heavenly city to which they went, and they were captivated by it. But here they're thinking of drawing back, and over and again as we read through Hebrews, we have this appeal. It's like an altar call that's interspersed time and time again. Please don't do that. Here we have it once again at the end of chapter 5 as this great, perfect, spotless, unique high priest who is our source of eternal salvation, the one and the only. How could we turn away from Him? Concerning Him, the one we want to hold out to you and have you fix your eyes upon, there's much, much that we would want to say. We would want to tell you again about how that the ancient prophets spoke of His coming, how that Isaiah 700 years before, how that Abraham 2,000 years, how that others, Micah, they saw what would take place. We would love to take you deep into the Old Testament and tell you how that He would be the one who would go to Calvary's cross and He would be the sacrifice for each and every one of us. Oh, there's much that we would want to say. We would want to tell you of His miracles, how that they were signs pointing to something greater than themselves. A sign is not special in itself. It points the way you want to go. It tells us of something greater than itself. The writer here says, we would want to tell you much, but it's hard. It's hard. We look for the right words, and we look into your face, and there's this casual appeal, or this casual countenance, rather. You've become dull, dull of hearing. Over and over again, the writer to the Hebrews refers back to the experience in the wilderness wanderings under Moses' leadership, those 40 years that were in between the exit from Egypt and the entrance into the promised land of Canaan. And how foolish it is that there was those 40 years. It didn't have to be. Within a year of exiting Egypt, having passed by Mount Horeb, having met with God there, having received the Ten Commandments and the laws which were to be the governing guide for their life in the new land, they rebelled. They said, "Oh, yeah, it is a good land. God was speaking true. But we're just like grasshoppers and we can't do it. We cannot do it." Time and time again, that rebellion is held forth to these, and to walk away from Christ is equated as just the same thing. To give up the privilege of entering into all of God's rest, to give up the privilege of entering into all of God's blessing, is just like coming to the promised land and saying, "Wow, we see on yonder side an amazing place, but ne'er shall we touch a foot there," and walk away. How sad, how sad. You've become dull. Verse 12 says, "Though by this time you ought to be teachers, you ought to have grown up, you ought to have finished your studies. But you're back in kindergarten and grade one. You have need, again, for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God." The writer is saying, we're back at the very lowest level, and we're teaching you little Sunday school songs, and we're trying to encourage you and trying to build you up. And you're like Teflon. It just doesn't stick. You have come to need milk and not solid food. Now, here's the strange thing. Every one of us have seen young people grow. And to perhaps you've had the experience where you've seen, after a long pause, you've seen someone for the first time and you say, "Wow, they've shot up." Well, here, the reverse is taking place. Here, these people had moved forward with God. They had moved forward under His blessing. They had matured. They had grown strong. But now those same muscles have atrophied and they have withdrawn and they are shrinking and they are becoming just a shadow of what they previously were. Previously, they could handle strong food. They could handle meat. But now the complaint is, "We need to put milk in a bottle and warm it and then give it to you in that way." What an insult that is. What an insult that people would withdraw and that they would need to have milk and not real food that would truly strengthen them in every way. Everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness. He is an infant. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice, have their senses trained to discern good and evil. Practice. If you've ever had a young person in your home who is learning a musical instrument or any other skill, you know that there is that vital need for practice that skill, be it musical or something else, might develop. That the fingers or the mind or the whole body might naturally do that without hardly even a thought being given to it, that when the time comes, that there be an automatic response. Here is what is to take place in the life of the believer. Solid food is to come into us oh, it's good for the infant to have milk. But you want that infant to move on beyond milk and beyond pablum and beyond those hideous and horrible little stuffs that come out of those baby food jars. Have you ever tasted them? It's good for them to grow up and to become strong. It's good for them to sit at the adult table and not just at the kids' table. It's good for believers in Christ to grow up, to pull up to the table and to take solid food, which is truly for the mature, and through the practice of doing that which God calls us to do, that their senses, all of our senses, be trained to discern good and evil. Why is it that we walk with God? Why is it that we give daily attention to God's Word? Why is it that we call upon Him and dwell in prayer, as the Apostle Paul says, continuing in prayer, always at the work of prayer, never in a situation where prayer would be out of place, constantly praying without ceasing? Here we are training our senses that we might walk with God and that we might do His will, even as a violinist or a pianist or some other instrumentalist takes those fingers, and with hardly even thinking about it, they move as the music bids them. So it is with us. As we grow, we come to know what it is to discern good and evil, and we don't need to have a big, long meeting about, well, what should be happening here? In the days of His flesh, our high priest, He came among us. He did not stay in heaven, but He came to dwell among us. And He is now ever before God the Father, pleading on our behalf. He is described as right there, seated at the right hand of the Father, pleading for you and for me. I would again hold out to you Jesus Christ, the unparalleled one. Would you bow with me in prayer? Lord, we give You thanks and praise for Your Word, and we give You thanks and praise for how that it holds out the Lord Jesus Christ as the unsurpassed one, the one who is incomparable in every way. O Lord, we would delight ourselves in Jesus Christ, not only the babe in Bethlehem, but we would delight in the one who went to the Jordan to obey the will of the Father, who went to the wilderness, who went with His disciples through all of the villages and down the roads of Galilee and Samaria and Judea, who went to Calvary's cross that He might be the Savior of the world, including each and every one of us. Lord, may this truth so impact hearts and lives here today. Anyone who does not know You except as a name, but they do not know You as Savior and Lord, I pray that this would be the very day when they would say, Lord Jesus, I realize and I see You for the first time who You truly are. You were not just a teacher. You were not just a miracle worker. You were not just a misunderstood person who was nailed to a cross. Tragedy of tragedies. You are the very Son of God who has come to be our Savior and our great High Priest. You are the one who is now the mediator before the throne of God on my behalf. And Your blood covers all my sin. Forgive me, cleanse me, make me ready for heaven, and may I dwell for all eternity in that beautiful place You have prepared for those who trust in You. Lord, I ask that each one who prays just like that, that they would know that heaven stands open before them, that their sin is in the past and that they now can walk a new road. They can live a new life. So, Lord, I pray that salvation would come to hearts and lives who are ready to turn, who are ready to repent and look to You and You alone. So work among us, we pray, and be honored and glorified, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.